Right, it looks like we're got some recording going here. This is Sunday, April 7th, I believe, 2013. It's a spring-like day. The birds are singing, flowers are blooming, and we're talking to the
Beautiful
Deutsch
day.
Family. Beautiful day. Mm-hmm. We have Elsie Deutsch with us. Hello, Elsie.
Hi.
And her son, George.
Hey, Jack.
And Sandy, George's wife, and
Hi.
Elsie's sister-in-law. We're going to talk about some memories of farms and talk about listening to WHAS or just radio in general and how it all went. Let's start with you, Elsie.
Okay.
I'm stepping over my bounds here by asking a lady her age, but can I do that? What year were you born?
Yeah, 91.
You're born 1922 then, huh?
1922.
And I believe that's the year that WHAS started. You don't have any memories from back then of listening to
that. No, not that far. First time I even heard about a radio was, I guess I was about, not that I first heard about it, but it's the first experience I had with it was when my brother made a crystal set.
Tell me about that a little bit. You grew up out in the Fern Creek area, is that right?
Right.
Tell me about your family, first of all. Was your family a farm family? Or?
Yes, my dad was we called it a truck farmer.
Uh-huh.
He raised strawberries, corn, grapes, all the things like that that people use.
Sell to neighbors or
right.
go to shops or
and
stores.
Of course, then you didn't have freezers.
Oh, yeah.
And everything that you grew, you had to use it up right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't even have a refrigerator except for an ice box with a chunk of ice in it.
Huh.
And it was a lot of fun because we didn't know any better.
Were you actually out on a farm or were you within
yes.
the Fern Creek? You were out on
we
a farm?
We were on a farm.
Yeah. Huh. And you had how
well,
many brothers?
Well, it was about 30 acres.
You had brothers and sisters?
Had four brothers.
Were you the baby? Or?
My mother had and dad had four boys, and all before I came along.
So you were the baby, huh?
I was the baby, and my mother thought I was sick after having four boys. people would go by the house, and she'd have clothes hanging on the line, and they'd say, "Well, I'm sure glad to see something out there besides boys' pants."
You helped straighten the bottle. What was Fern Creek like back then? It's a lot different than it is today in 2013.
Oh, yes. The houses were very far between.
Really?
Where
was the center? Was there a downtown Fern Creek? Was there a place, a store or something?
Yes,
everybody
they
kinda
had
kinda
like a
post office and things like that.
They had like a union store, and they had a hardware store and a feed store.
Did you go into Louisville
separate.
Very often? Did you go to Louisville?
My dad did.
Mm-hmm.
In
Nicholson
fact,
Hotel was there.
Nicholson Hotel,
oh, had a hotel
was there.
Because this was on Bargetown Road going out
Road
from Louisville.
Right
to,
through it.
Yeah.
At
yeah.
that time they called it, I think it was Bargetown Pike.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. And they had a streetcar that came out all the way to Fern Creek that went back to town. And the people really appreciated having that.
You ever ride that any? Did
no,
you
I didn't.
Into,
no.
No reason to.
But my dad, when I was first born, and I remember as a little one riding to church in a horse-drawn wagon.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to church? Where was that?
I went to the Oak Grove Church of Christ.
Uh-huh.
My dad was a Methodist. My mother was Presbyterian. There wasn't either one of those.
Oh,
right.
Oh, I see.
And the Church of Christ was the closest at hand. And
uh-huh.
that's where his sister and rest of the family went, so
yeah.
that's where we went.
Now, your four brothers were pretty active in the community out there, weren't they? Didn't
yes,
have
they,
an impact on that
yes,
community.
They were very active in Fern Creek. As
yeah,
they,
and in
as
Louisville, it
right.
went there, in education, and you had
right.
a brother who was a veterinarian? Or?
Uh-huh. Hudson was the veterinarian, and Everett James E. was the assistant deputy superintendent with Mr. Van Hoos.
Huh.
And then Harry, my youngest brother, had a furniture store.
Uh-huh. And then Kenneth,
and
was,
Kenneth was very active in the schools, too.
I think there's a
they
building at
him,
Seneca High School yeah. named after
yes,
him.
Yes, the auditorium.
He was the first principal at Seneca High School.
Oh, is that right? Oh. 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 Well, how about
they
that?
Called him the county's gadget man. He worked on all the televisions and any of the machines that needed to be worked on, he did it, you know. Although
that?
He started out, he majored in English and started teaching at Camp Taylor, and then he went to Great House and the Schrock and
made the rounds, huh?
Yeah, and my oldest brother taught at Primrose, which was a one-room school, all eight classes.
In kids Fern Creek, in the Fern Creek area?
At Primrose, it was kind of towards the Floyd's Park.
Oh, I didn't know
it
that.
It was several miles from Fern Creek.
Hmm. Did I never heard of that before.
Yeah. And
where'd you go to school? Where did you go to school?
I went to Luverne.
That was an elementary school there.
Yes,
in
it was.
Fern Creek.
It was actually, Luverne was the first junior high school in the county.
Is it still out there? No.
It they tore it down.
Okay.
And but all my brothers went there.
Wasn't it 1 through 8?
It was. Huh. But before I started, when Hudson and Everett were going, or before, it was 2 more years were added on to it.
Hmm. Did you go to Fern Creek High School?
Yes, I did. Graduated.
You're a Creeker,
from there.
I know.
Yes. My brother Kenneth rode a bicycle from where we lived to Fern Creek.
How far was it?
Oh gosh, I don't know, 10 miles. I think it'd be 10 miles. Anyway, it was.
You rode the bike, whatever.
Yes.
About what the weather was. Yeah. You were going to tell me about Kenneth making a radio set.
In one of his classes, they made a crystal set. And they had the cat whisker, you know what that is? It's a little thing, and it has a wire, and you work it around till you get the sound of the voices.
And this
and
is in the late 20s,
really nice.
Middle to late 20s.
Yeah. Yes. And my mother was ill, had been for a year or two, and she laid there on the bed listening to the music, and she loved the Hawaiian music. She thought it was so pretty.
How about that? Did you listen to the radio some? Did you? Because it was different.
Yes,
you couldn't walk in every room and turn one on now or put it in your car.
No, but
she
let me listen to one of the ears.
Oh, so she'd listen to one and you'd listen to one, huh?
Yeah. Well, I didn't listen to it too much because I just, you know, was doing other things.
Yeah. What did you have to do around the farm? Did you do anything on the farm or you keep the house going? Or what?
Oh, well, yeah, I worked around in the house. She had gotten to where she just suffered too much. And I did all I could do in the house, help with the cooking. 10 years old, sweeping the floor, trying to, and I think about now, I wonder what it looked like.
I bet it was great.
A lot better than it would have if you hadn't.
Right,
that's right.
I guess so.
With four boys around there, are you kidding?
Oh.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So do you remember listening, when do you first remember listening to you mentioned WAVE was
WAVE,
on before WHAS.
That's the one that she could get with
the crystal,
crystal set. I don't know if WHAS was in operation.
Started 1921, I believe, 21 or 22, so about the year you were born, it was on there,
And it was 1937 before we even had electricity.
Is that right?
That's right.
So that'd be important if you're gonna have a radio to have some electricity. They weren't
battery-operated. And my oldest brother came out one night and he said, "Mom, I'm gonna get married tonight." She said, "Oh, you are," and she thought he was joking. So the next morning we all get up and somebody said, "Where is Everett?" And she said, "I just don't know. I wonder where he is." I said, "Mom, don't you remember? He said he was going to get married when he left," and she started crying.
Oh my goodness! So you were how old were you when that happened?
I was about 9 or 10. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, you met your husband. Leo. Was he from Fern Creek also?
He was raised in.
Was he a farming
guy? No, not really. His dad worked for Siltest.
The dairy.
And so they wanted to move. They lived down in Portland.
Oh. Okay.
And they wanted to.
How did you meet? If he was in Portland, you were out in Fern Creek.
Well, they moved.
Oh, I see.
They moved out to Fern Creek, and we had to wait for the bus. You know, they'd always have 2 rounds to go. So we all got kind of chummy, started having fun, always waiting on the bus.
You want to talk about that? No, never mind.
It was a bunch of us. We'd go over to the Union Store and they'd have the best donuts you ever ate. And we'd get a Coke. And the kids that rode buses just went in droves over to the store to Fern Creek, you know.
Where was this? Was this on Bardstown Road? Or
right
where
there it? By the where the fire department is now and the community center.
Yeah, okay. Now, did I ask you what your maiden name was? Did I?
Farmer.
Farmer was Farmer. So you were a farmer. You were born a farmer,
right,
weren't you?
Right.
And you met Leo Deutsch.
Met him at school.
How long from the time you all met before you got married?
Well, it was about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We married young.
Mm-hmm.
Went back to the farm. They wanted him to go to UK, but he didn't want to go to school any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now you say the farm, where was the farm now? Was this the farm that you all had for such a long time?
Well, now when they moved out to Fern Creek from downtown, they raised chickens.
They were in Fern Creek, they were out on the farm.
They were, and yes, they had a little bit of land.
And Pop had a couple of cows there on that little spot because...
I didn't know if they gave it to him. Mr. Von Ammann gave it to him before they moved.
Who was Mr. Von Ammann and how did he get a cow? Tell me that story.
Okay, well, he had a wonderful farm up at, what was the name of that? Okay.
It's on 22. It's basically at the intersection of Gene Snyder and I-71.
Worthington.
Now that was the back side of the farm.
It was Worthington.
Okay. Now was this the Von Ammann Dairy or
yes.
Oh, that was the
yes.
dairy. Did it become Seal Test or something?
That's
or,
right.
Okay. So
yes.
So he
and
worked.
So he's a
his dad worked for.
We all called him Pappy.
Uh-huh.
And he worked for him.
Okay.
And
then Leo did.
And so they moved from the farm in Fern Creek. Leo's family moved down to Mount Washington Road.
So they bought the farm out there on Mount Washington
yes.
Road. Okay, that's where
and
it started.
That is where, when he started working on getting some cows together,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Von Ammann gave him a little black heifer calf whose name was Eva. Mm-hmm. And every chance they got, they would buy another
heifer.
He
was still a boy at this time or a young man?
He
you
was
married
a,
yet.
About a sophomore.
You weren't married at this time?
No.
I'm wanting to say, wasn't he like 14 when they moved over there?
Probably. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. He was a sophomore.
He was.
Hmm.
Yeah. And.
So he's living out on that farm by this time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Huh. And they're raising some cows and, were they dairy
pigs.
Cows? Well, dairy cows, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And pigs?
Yeah. And when we got married, they were milking 13 of these cows by hand.
Hmm.
And of course, I learned how to milk the cows.
How did
Everybody
you?
Likes my handshake, and I said that's because I milked cows for a long, long time.
How old were you when you got married? You said you were married young. How old were you?
Yeah, I was 19. Leo was 17 and
so
a half.
So this is like in the late 30s, late 30s, early 40s, somewhere along. What year did you get married? Get
married,
married 41.
In 41. Huh. Yeah.
Did you move out? You moved out to the farm then? Were you? Did you?
Yeah,
live
we
out?
Lived there with them.
Yeah.
My mother died when I was just going on 12.
Ah.
And my dad then was by himself, and then one of my brothers moved in with him. They had a little boy. He and his wife and little boy moved in there.
Mm-hmm.
And after milking cows, we ended up with about 20, I guess, 18 cows maybe, and that we were milking by hand. And then a friend of ours, Leo, got in with him, and they cut wood off of our farm and built a dairy barn, and that was a nice big job.
How big was the farm? How many acres here?
There was 172 when they bought it,
uh-huh.
originally bought it. And then the light utilities went through, and they called it. Remember how many acres that was?
Well, it started out as 181, and Nan and Pappy donated 5 acres.
That's right.
Five acres or 7 acres to the state
for the
dam and spillway, Neely Lake was.
Now the farm backed up to Neely Lake, didn't it?
Yeah. And then the fire company took some. and the Parks Department took some, and so
we ended up with about 142 acres, didn't
right.
we?
Hmm.
Yeah.
How many cows do you eventually?
Well, we eventually we after having built the dairy barn, and then we got milking machines in there, and we had it accommodated 22 cows.
Wow.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
11 on either side, and we were proud of that barn because
yeah.
it had water fountains in it.
And the guys had built it. They built it.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was good.
Yeah.
And
have to milk twice a day?
We built the silo, and we had silo right there. And yes, you milk twice a day. But now these milkers that we used, you had to carry to empty. We'd carry them and empty them out into the can at the end of the barn.
Later on, they all went into a central system.
They went
in,
yes. First, we started out with cans of milk in the cooler,
mm-hmm.
set the can down
oh,
in
yeah.
the water. Then that was outlawed, and we started, then they had ice encased in the sides of the cooler and on the bottom. And as time went on, it, you know.
So they'd fill the cans and somebody come around and pick them up every day, or?
Actually, when it was in cans, Pappy hauled the milk to the market
really?
As he went to work.
Oh, how about that?
And there was a time that they, when we were milking in the old barn, the 13 cows, that was not grade A milk. That was because we didn't have all of the sanitary conditions that
mm-hmm.
you see when you go into a grade A dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And it went to a creamery.
So you were out there milking too. You were milking some. Did
oh
you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Any techniques you want to share with us? Any secret to being a good milker? Any good secret?
Get your thumb in there and just go to town.
That's good. Well, did was radio a part of? Did you depend on the radio for any farming information or anything at that time? Did people listen?
Well,
to
I depended on the radio. Yeah, we listened to it a lot for the weather
mm-hmm.
and the music. The cows loved the music.
Oh, so you played it in the barn.
And so, yes, and you had this constant noise going on. That way you don't surprise a cow.
Huh?
I mean, that was just my thinking.
Yeah, well, it makes
if they
sense.
Hear something, if they don't hear something and you go in between a couple of cows, you might go back sooner than you expect.
So some disc jockey other had no idea how important he was to
that's
keeping
right.
you safe, huh? How about that? How about that?
Somebody like Jim Walton.
Yeah, yeah. Who you remember who you listened to back then? Because you listened not just in the barn, you listened to the house and everything too?
Yeah.
You remember who you listened to?
Uh-huh,
Jim, you mentioned
especially
Jim Walton.
Jack Fox.
that was a little bit later. Listen to Jim Walton. You remember who else
Jim
you listened
Walton.
To?
Jim Walton.
Was this in the morning or at night or
Judy Marshall was
oh yeah she was singer.
after Walton
mm-hmm.
I think and Randy Atcher and who was the old guy with him
Tom Brooks
yeah,
Tom
Cactus.
Brooks
Cactus
yeah,
yeah.
Cactus yeah and they it was called the Breakfast Club
so you listen to that yeah
mm-hmm.
What time did you start milking in the morning?
You had to get it done before the boys
yeah,
went
we,
to school.
Well
back earlier they had to have it done before Pappy left to go to work.
Yeah, so it was pretty early.
4 or 5 in the morning, something
we had
like
to
that.
Get it milked and get it cooled.
Huh? Did you when you went out, did you turn the radio on then or was it on all the time for the cows?
I turned it on right away.
Okay. Did you listen for you mentioned the weather, did they do farm reports or anything like that then? Was that important
yes.
to you all or
yeah. Of course that was always I think the weather was always something they could fill in with. There was
yeah.
nothing else to talk about.
Did they give the farm reports how much beef was selling for in the grain
when
reports?
When did that start? When did Barney Arnold start?
Oh, I don't remember.
Was Barney the first one that, was Barney the first like farm director? They have anybody before Barney? I was trying to.
I don't think so.
So Barney was the first one. Yeah, we were trying to remember the other day. If
there was
anybody.
And then there was that other one on, and he's still.
Jack Crowner was.
Yeah,
he was.
He was on Wave, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you listen to Wave and HAS, or did you listen back and forth, or did
back
you have
and forth?
Yeah.
But most of the time, it was HAS.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Because Wave actually had a they had a farm itself, didn't they? Have a
oh,
farm.
Oh yes,
that,
they did.
They
still
did.
Do.
And
is
it,
that right?
Uh huh. And it wasn't too far from Mr. Van Allman's farm.
So they did experiments out
mm-hmm.
there, or just raised things and talked about it. Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, I'm glad to know that the radio could keep you company out there. Oh, did you listen in the house at night or anything? Did you listen for entertainment?
Oh, we did. We listened to, I don't remember the name of that show, but it was like a soap, like your soap operas that you have on television. Huh. I can't think of the name of it. It was some woman, and she had the whole family. I mean, it just went on, and you'd listen to it every night.
Yeah, so you got caught up in it, huh? Got caught up in all the characters.
You do, just like I do with these books I listen to now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you listen to the recorded books you get from the state library, yeah.
Yeah, I said I'm listening to Jill now.
That's my daughter, Jill. Yeah,
I know.
Her eyesight is fading a little bit, so that's just good knowing you fill in the gap there, huh?
Right.
That's good.
Yeah, I can't read at all, so. Except unless the letters are big. I can read if they're big.
Well, you had you raised a couple of boys out on that farm too, didn't you? Were both of them born? You lived out there when both the boys were born?
George and Bill.
Bill
and
was your oldest.
Bill was the first grandchild, and I said, no, he was not spoiled. And then when George came along, no, he wasn't spoiled either.
All the grandparents out there.
That's right, yeah.
In fact, I know that farm has been developed now, but there was a, well, there a little log cabin or something back there where Bill was born, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, that's Leo and I slept back there.
Until
George was born.
How about
then that? The cabin wasn't big enough for three beds.
Was Bill actually born there? Was he born in a hospital?
He was born in St. Anthony.
Okay. So both the boys were
both
born.
Both of them were born in St. Anthony's.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter-in-law, Bill's wife, is said that she wanted recipes, you know, from the family. And so that's what got me started writing all this stuff down. So I've got it. I've got one of them ready. And if you guys want to see it before they take it, you're welcome to look at it.
What was it like? You're on a farm. You're helping to milk. You're raising two boys now. And you've also got a cook and do all that stuff. What was that all like? Kept you pretty busy, didn't it?
Yes, we were busy. At first, before we married, Nana went out and did, she helped with the milk.
Nana's your mother-in-law?
Yes, and helped feed the pigs. And
what were your in-law's names, by the way?
Pappy's name was Berthold.
Berthold and,
William. And her name was Stella.
Okay.
And of course, she called herself Granny to Bill, and it ended up being Nana. So, and then when we got married, I didn't know what to call Pappy because I still had a dad. So Pappy just fit.
Everybody
Pappy. Called him Pappy.
Huh?
Did it stop?
No, we're doing good. I'm just checking to make sure we're doing all right there. We're just rolling along. Yeah.
And Elaine said that she wanted to hear things that went on at the farm on the Walnut Hill. She said, I don't care if it's good, bad, indifferent, or whatever it is, I want to hear it.
So that was the name of the farm, Walnut Hill?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right off Mount Washington Road, or on Mount Washington
and
Road.
Yeah, that's right. And there was a hen that is in the Hall of Fame at University of Kentucky. Because she was a laying the statue.
Is that right?
Right.
Uh-huh. From your
farm? Dr. Ireland. No, it wasn't our chicken. Oh. It was, but Dr. Ireland had this flock of chickens.
That was the people that owned it before.
I see.
And of course, the people, he was never there, and the people that worked there said they were the ones that raised the chickens. So. You know how that goes, and they didn't get the credit.
Did you enjoy farm life? Was it a good
Yes. I loved going down to the barn and smell that feed as those cows were eating that silage and put this grain on there and get it all mixed up, and it smelled so good, and their radio was playing. A lot out of it. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Huh. Now, Leo also became kind of an innovator too, wasn't he, as far as farming, agricultural methods and things like that?
Oh, yes. I'll let George tell you about that.
Well, let's talk about George. George, you were born, you grew up on that farm out there, didn't you?
Right.
What are your earliest memories of the farm there on Walnut Hill or on Mount Washington Road?
Probably plowing when you were 9 years old.
Well, you know, just the daily chores, milking the cows.
You started early, right, as early as you can remember? You remember
well,
things like that?
I was just like our kids, Jack, when we went to the barn with Mom and Dad, you know, and I evidently used to be hard to put to sleep for naps and stuff. Pop would take me out on the tractor and ride me, and I'd go to sleep when the...
How about that? That's a lullaby, huh?
Yeah, you know, but...
You have to start a John Deere now to go to sleep? You
Well, John Deere was a dirty word back then.
Oh, is that right? What was the good
one? Al's Chalmers.
Oh, yeah, your dad was a dealer, wasn't he?
Yes,
yeah.
He was. Yeah.
Not at that time, but eventually he was.
You got orange instead of green and yellow.
But, you know, it was just like, it was
he got
what
out
you
there.
Did. You
Those
know?
Boys got out there and worked.
And,
all
you know,
the time.
You talked about Barney Arnold, and of course, kids being what they were, you know, my brother and I called him on the that Arnie Barnyard was coming.
Arnie Barnyard.
You know, and
I wonder if he ever knew that.
I doubt it very seriously, you know. But
he would have smiled at it, though, I'm sure, yeah.
But
Bill's how much older than
four
you?
Four and a half years four older than me.
Was that a help to you or hindrance to you on the farm with an older brother? Was that
well, my Bill was a reader, and we would be down the barn milking the cows, and he couldn't milk the cows without a book in his pocket.
That's kind of hard to do.
And if there was 2 minutes idle time someplace, well, Bill had a book out, you know, and that was kind of frustrating because he'd be supposed to be doing something and he'd be reading, you know.
Now, Bill didn't stay around the farm. Bill became a minister and things like that. Yeah.
But, interesting enough, he couldn't wait to get away from the farm. And then after he became a minister, his first church was a little place out in Gibson, Iowa. And in fact, it was so small that he had service at the one church and while they had Sunday school at White Oak, and then he'd jump in the car and run us about 10 or 12 miles down the road to the other one and do it all over.
It was mother church and then a satellite.
But he could understand a farm community, couldn't he?
Oh,
when he got out there, well, he couldn't wait to get, you know, we started hearing about, well, he was helping this guy or that guy plow or plant corn or doing this, you know, and it turned out to be a real good thing for him because he understood, he could relate with those people, and instead of waiting for him to cast a shadow on the church door, you know.
And they appreciated his knowing how to
do things.
So you're helping prepare him for his ministry.
But at any rate, that...
Well, now, George, any books you were reading probably had to do with agriculture, because that was in you, or it was in your blood, wasn't it? I mean, you enjoyed it, didn't you? Did you ever think about wanting to get away from the farm, or you always wanted to be there on it? Or
always wanted to be at the farm. Jack, I read real slow. And so reading was frustrating to me, you know, and I hated school from the very first day of first grade until I graduated from high school, but then I ended up going to UK where Sandy and I met.
Yeah, you went to UK and majored in agriculture and very, very bright minded agriculture.
Did well there, but by that point in time I had a purpose to work through, you know, in school. School was like a dose of medicine to me. It was just, you know, I wanted to be out on the farm.
Yeah.
When he first, his first grade, people, friends would say, how does George like school? I said, oh, he's doing good. He likes it real well. Well, after hearing that several times, he called me to the side. He said, Mom, I do not like school.
6 years old.
And then when he gets to UK, he comes home talking about Sandy this and Sandy that, and we took some grits someplace, and was that corn, brown corn, was it called grits? And I said, who is Sandy? Oh, it's a girl that's working there at the dairy center.
Well, let's bring Sandy into this.
I found out that she can milk cows and wash dishes both.
Well, this is Sandy. Your official name is Alexandra.
Yes.
Alexandra, but you're Sandy for everybody.
Yes.
But so you came from a background where you were washing clothes and milking cows and all that, so right?
No.
You came from where?
Actually, I came from Washington, D.C., and I came from a newspaper, radio, TV family.
Tell me about that family a little bit.
Well, it was the Noyes family, my dad's mother's family, and my grandfather was my dad's father was actually a reporter from London, England, in the London Times, and he had an office in my dad's mom's family's newspaper, and that's where his office was and how they met.
Which newspaper? This in Washington, D.C.? What
Star.
Newspaper? Washington Star.
And WMAL-TV, really? And also the radio station was WMAL.
The family owned that.
Yeah, yeah. And he knew the Binghams and was friends with the Binghams. So that was interesting when I came down here because he says, now, don't forget that's where the Binghams are from, and you need to listen to WHAS and stuff.
How about that? And did you get to know the Bingham family some here, or did you have any contact with the Bingham family? Or?
Yeah. Edie and I actually both went to the same high school.
In the D.C. area then.
In the D.C. area, because her family, the Stenhouse family, was from D.C.
Is that where Barry met her when he came up here to work, or did he know her before? Know her?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Barry Jr.
Barry's
was in that
second
area.
Second wife.
Okay.
So, and I'm not sure. I never thought to ask Edie that.
Yeah. How about that? So you come down to Kentucky to be in the newspaper business and the radio and television business and.
I had dreams of coming down here and being a veterinarian.
Really? To get to vet school? You were going to come to here.
Well, I was going to be in pre-vet school at UK.
Why UK?
I loved horses. And that was horse country.
Yeah.
And but then I decided I didn't want to study that much, so I changed and just got an animal science major and then met George.
How did you guys meet?
At our Block and Bridle, which is our animal science club, and doing activities there.
How about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long from time you met did he take you to the farm over on Walnut Hill? From that time?
Long time.
It was 3 years. It was senior year before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, we were both dating other people.
Now, let's see, this would have been in the early 70s. When did you go? You graduated high school in 1970?
We first met in the fall of 1970.
You'd gone to UK and you were down at UK.
Yeah.
So you graduated from Southern High School in 1970,
yes,
George?
That's correct.
And what high school did you go to?
Holton Arms.
Holton Arms. Yeah, very good. What was it like to come to Kentucky from that Washington, D.C. area?
Oh, it was good. I enjoyed it very much. And I was, I don't know if you want to call it the oddball or the black sheep, because I liked the farming background and didn't like the city part. By the time I was in elementary school, Mom and Dad had moved out into the rural community around D.C.
What was your dad doing? He was
the business manager of the newspaper.
Of the Washington Star. Mm-hmm. Now you were into horses and things like that.
His best friend had
I saw a great picture of you. How old were you in that picture I saw?
17,
a horse and a couple of dogs around. You were right at home.
Yeah. His best friend was a farm manager for the farm that was right behind us. Mm-hmm. And
just in Maryland,
in Maryland, and he kind of raised me,
did you know about UK
and
or
that,
where the...
Actually, he was married to Edie's sister.
Oh, really?
And so that's how I got to know
Edie Bingham.
Yeah.
Well, did you know about Kentucky, or were there other schools that were, or you just wanted to come to Kentucky because the horses were here, or were you considering other schools? Or
I did, but. Well, my parents considered other schools. They had me apply to two other schools, and I picked Kentucky.
Parents are kind of like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're on the farm now. You got married. You're on the farm. What's it like to get on the farm out here on Walnut Hill? What were you jumping in and doing?
Milking cows. As soon as we got married, we expanded the dairy.
Had you milked before? Had you milked before?
Yes, I worked for the dairy center
at
UK.
Okay, yeah.
And everybody always told us that George got me to learn how to milk cows up there so I could kill their cows and not his cows.
The funny thing about that, Jack, is that the the people that, of the students that worked at the Dairy Center at UK, basically it was a year-round job, but some of us didn't stay year-round because we needed to go home to the farm and
I came home every week.
And the when I left the end of my junior year to come home, I stopped by Sandy's apartment and told her that the herdsman was really trying to find summer help out at the Dairy Center, and it coaxed her to go out to the Dairy Center and get a job. And so when I came back in the fall, Sandy was there at the Dairy Center, and she had been milking cows and feeding calves all summer long.
Getting ready for that farm.
That's right. So we took a lot, later on, we took a lot of razzing over there.
I'm sure that's true. So we know that Elsie liked to walk in the barn early in the morning, and George loved it. How about you? Did you enjoy the atmosphere around the barn, around the farm?
Oh, yeah, I really did.
And I loved working with the calves, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. It was fun.
Huh. Well, let's go back to Arnie Barnyard for a minute here. George, you guys, as a boy, I'm sure you said that jokingly. Did you listen to the station or radio station very much at that time, or growing up, just because it was on the barn, or did you?
Well, it was on in the barn, but in the younger years, Barney would talk about things. You know, he would talk about things that were going on in agriculture and stuff, it would torque my interest, you know,
really?
to listen to things that he had to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what was coming up and stuff like that. And then, of course, he did the market report every morning of the previous day's market. And then again,
did you guys pay attention? Is that important to you?
Well, sometimes it was because you know, if we were going to sell. If we were going to sell calves or hogs or corn or bighorn or something like that, you know,
he gave you like local information, in the stockyards or something.
That's right,
huh.
And we get the report.
Grain reports.
Of course, back then it would take just for the beef report. You know, it would take seem like forever because there's so many different categories. We tune in and. Sometimes that what he said would make a difference. Well, we need to get busy and send some cattle to market, or no, we don't need to do that. We need to wait, you know, or whatever.
So it was a vital part of it then.
Sure.
Yeah. In addition to just routine and entertainment, it was
mm-hmm.
a vital
part. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Huh. And
how do you subscribe to Elsie's theory that the music helped the cows calm down, or did you get kicked by a cow even if the music wasn't in the deer?
Oh, yes.
You get kicked anyway, but you know, it's kind of like background music in a baby's room or something like that. You know, it didn't really.
A sudden noise. Or
it didn't really matter a lot what was going on, but it was something else that was more or less constant, you know.
Mm-hmm. So your years on the farm were really growing up in the middle to late 60s, on up through your adulthood then.
Yeah, he was born in 52.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And
so he was about...
Yeah, from 1959, 60 on, you
were
pretty involved
old,
in the farm.
4 years old when you were spending as much time in the barn as the rest of us were.
Yeah. Well, you enjoyed it, yeah.
And the only bad time I can remember on the farm when I was a little kid, Jack, was Mom's one brother, Uncle Hudson, was a veterinarian, and I was probably about four.
Yeah.
It was a traumatic experience, or I wouldn't remember it, obviously, you know. But the head of sick cow, I don't have a clue what was wrong with it, except that Uncle Hudson had to operate on that cow. And while they were operating on the cow, a thunderstorm came up, and the electric went off, and it was warm weather, and they had the windows out of the barn for ventilation, and it was blowing rain plumb through the barn, and lightning and thunder, and I was screaming bloody murder because I was scared to death, you know. But that's the only bad experience I can remember of growing up
on
the farm.
We were down there holding the cow.
Yeah.
But at any rate, you know,
Well, let's talk about the radio part for a minute here. That changed a little bit too, from the time you were a boy to the time that you finally left the farm. When did you sell the farm, or you begin to develop it? What year was that? It was about
97.
Okay. So, but even what was delivered on the radio was different from that time, from when you started. Talk about that transition
changed.
A little bit.
Things changed a lot.
Well, in the beginning for me. It really wasn't beginning, but I remember when Barney would be off, and I'm having a senior moment here now. Fred Wishy.
Yeah.
Fred Wishy was Barney's relief guy, and so, you know, early on, well, maybe once every week or once every 2 weeks, well, we would have to listen to Fred instead of Barney. And
now, this is why you're a kid, or you're an adult back on the farm now?
An adult.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
even as a kid, yeah.
Yeah, or early on.
Yeah, because Fred came there in the 60s sometime.
Yeah, you know, as a teenager, you know. And stuff, and as a young adult.
So how did that affect you?
Well, Fred would try to give the same stuff that Barney did, but it just came in a different way, you know. All of us are different, you know, and so it was just you knew when to be what you wanted to hear from Barney, and you knew when he was going to get to it and stuff, you know. But you had to listen a lot closer to Fred in the beginning, and Fred never. You know, he was a great guy, but he never filled Barney's shoes as far as
those are big shoes to fill.
Difference in the delivery and the voice, the tone of his voice,
and the type of information changed too, didn't it?
Right.
Society changed. Your farm became more and more communities around. It became more urban out of that area.
Yes.
So, the listening audience. Change somehow, but the farm audience began to dwindle a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes, it well, mm-hmm. by that time, though, Jack, that was HAS was the blowtorch, you know,
50,000 watts,
and it went
all over.
Yeah,
that's true, yeah, that's
you know,
true.
And a lot of places, even the local stations were real small, some people out in the country didn't have access to the market reports until days later unless they got it off of WHAS, you know. So
that was the signal getting out across the state.
But after Barney left more and more, of course, Fred was an avid gardener, you know, and more as you appeal to your audience, you know, you cater to your audience. And so more and more, Fred catered his shows to the homeowner or the gardener, as opposed to, you know, he still gave the market reports, but the extra information moved towards the backyard gardener, really, which
all
he was great at that.
All the information is available now on a smartphone or whatever, just like that. So that is neat to change. But your listening habits changed a little bit too. You began to depend on the radio not just for information, but even for entertainment, I think, at some point too, didn't it?
That Mal Perkins, that was the name of that.
Mal Perkins, that was it. Yeah, I knew that would come out there.
I knew it'd finally come.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
But you got to where you could listen to the radio in the house, in the car, and I'm sure that changed your listening habits a little bit too, and what you listened to. You'd listen to guys like Wayne Perky in the morning, and not just the farm stuff. You get caught up, I guess, every now and then, and the conversations he was having, and the sports reports and things like that.
Well, and the radio station changed its focus too, because it used to be that we actually had somebody playing music on it.
Yeah.
And then it turned to totally talk radio.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I was just going to say we had Judy Marshall. And there was another girl that sang, I don't remember.
Joanne Hale, maybe?
Yeah.
Joanne
Hale.
And was Phyllis Knight, was she ever on the radio, or was she just
six years old?
She was on radio. She was on radio, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, Jack, when I first met you in person, you know, that we had listened to you on the radio long enough that it felt like we knew you when we met. You know?
AJS was kind of like that, wasn't it? I mean, now that's an idea about the change in style, though, too. The radio had even become more personal by that point, and you kind of took it with you.
Not as formal.
Yeah, and you kind of took it with you throughout the day. Yeah, you took it with you. It wasn't just in the barn in the morning, but you took it with you throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Information became more applicable to your daily stuff.
Right,
yeah.
Even traffic reports, trying to get to the market or something, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, now it's interesting because today your dairy farm is not there anymore, but you're farming out in Spencer County and you're raising the type of stuff that Fred would be talking
That's
about.
That's right. He would be proud
of. Fred was just ahead of his time, that's all.
Yes, yeah. And now I read Janine Wishy's things.
That's Fred's daughter, yeah. Yes, she's
mm-hmm.
involved, yeah. And your kids grew up on the farm. Tell me about your kids, became very involved in everything too.
Yeah.
Well, our oldest daughter, Nancy, actually went to school for 3 years in California studying dairy science with a minor in business. And she's not used that degree because she married a Marine and ended up following him around
the
world.
She was very active in the farm
community.
She
was very active in the farm community before.
Showing cows and things like
that.
Yeah,
because she was out of college for 6 years before they actually got married. So she taught school during that time and worked on the farm and also helped us start up our vegetable sales and
stuff.
I bet
she could milk with the best of them, too. I bet could
yes.
she?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, we would leave her in the parlor to milk the cows starting when she was 11 years old.
Yeah, bright girl.
And go out and be doing other work and stuff. So.
And your daughter Chrissy now is working with your farm markets.
That's right. She helps bake bread and stuff and sells at the farm markets with me.
So what do you all do at the farm markets? That's become a whole niche thing for you. What do you do now?
We raise fruits and vegetables and bake breads and make jams and pickles and things like that and sell them at 4 different markets 5 times a week.
Huh. And we can't leave your son Franklin out of this. Franklin is he's a farm boy.
He is. He comes home and farms after he does his job with Johnson Controls. And, and so
he raised some tobacco for a while, didn't he, for a cash crop type thing? Yeah, yeah.
Now he helps with the pumpkins and sweet corn.
Good.
Franklin is a good salesperson, Jack.
Yeah.
And
he does really good.
I've heard him comment several times that there's nothing he would rather sell than a fresh peach. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, most people today, unless they raise peaches in their backyard or whatever, don't really know what a fresh picked peach is because you go to a grocery store and they've been picked for a while. They were picked just when they would turn colors, and there's no comparison really of that peach and one that. And that's one of the things that we try to do is provide fresher, ripened on the tree fruit. And you take one of our peaches and if you bite into it, well, juice is going everywhere, you know. and where I started with this was Franklin said that there's nothing he would rather do than to cut when selling something is if he takes a knife and cuts open a peach and juice squirts everywhere, you know, just to watch the look on the people's face, you know, that him showing them that, you know.
I think through you, Franklin just sold a bunch of peaches right here. I think whoever's listening to this, but I want some of that. So. Well, over the years, then HAS, WHAS, has been really a part of your life, your farm community,
yes,
even now.
Yeah.
You listen now. Well, how do you listen now? Do you listen some now? Mostly in the car.
In the car, mostly.
Yeah, traveling around.
That's exactly right.
And you do a little traveling here and there, but.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. And it's interesting because we know what part of the state when we're traveling to different farm meetings and stuff, we know how far we can get in the state and still be able to get HAS on our car
all
radio.
Around.
Some places a lot further than others, you know.
Well, in today's iHeart Radio now, you can get it on your computer or wherever you are, live streaming and everything.
Yeah.
So it's changed a lot, but it's still a vital part of everything. Good. Well, any other stories we've left out here about farm life on the Deutsch family on farm and HAS?
Well, WHAS is still WHAS TV is still Mom's go-to station.
Oh, I do.
All right.
Even though they've changed.
Because I know them.
They've
know,
changed.
I'm familiar with them.
CBS and ABC, they swap there and stuff, but when they swapped, it didn't matter to Mom. The Channel 11 WHAS TV was the go-to station on the television, you know. And
yeah.
Of course, growing up, you know, we had one television when I can remember. As a little kid, we had the one TV. It was in the kitchen, you know, and of course it sat in the big old
console
bag, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, the rabbit ears and all that. And, sort of thing, the antenna outside.
But you know, so it's changed so drastically, you know, because most homes now have got TV every place and everything, you know. But it was someplace at first the radio and then the TV. You know, the family would gather around that, and of course, when I was a youngster, we got two stations on the television. We got WHAS and WAVE, 3 and 11.
And yeah. It wasn't covered the whole day. There was empty spots.
Had the test pattern. You remember the test pattern?
Yep.
Yes.
And any rate, you know, it's and I remember when. Bill was still in high school, and he had a science project one year that involved some kind of electronics thing, and so he used the stuff that he had from that and put a converter on the television so we could get channel 32 at one point.
Oh, yeah.
My father, of course, if you left it on, it messed up. The signal would mess up the channel 3 and channel 11. My father liked to die because he thought that it messed up the TV. You know, you just have to turn the switch off, Bob. But
technology.
That's right. Technology.
Have a little trouble with smartphones today, wouldn't it?
That's right.
That's funny. Well, anything else you want to add to all this? We've had a good time talking. Anything?
It has been fun.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else?
Well, you know, the. It seemed like we were in the barn forever. You know, it seems like, you know, you get, you know, just what popped in my mind is Metz here, you know, and he'd come on in the evening, you know, and Metz here, you know,
yeah.
and because we would usually still be in the barn late in the evening when he would come on
Well, you mentioned the weather information a while ago. Of course, the tornado just about this year, this time of year, April 3rd, 1974. You're right, mm-hmm. Almost in the middle of it out there where you were and your farm. Did you get any information from the radio? You listened afterwards, I'm sure, to see what was going on.
George and I were both at UK at that time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, 74.
Listened to WHAS so that we could find out what had happened back home.
Sure.
Because the phone lines were bad and we couldn't get through to find out.
It actually didn't touch our farm.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find that out.
Yeah.
The telephone lines were all down, and so Sandy and I were there in Lexington, and in fact, Jack, it was really funny. It was kind of eerie because we were finishing up the milking at the dairy center, and Sandy and I were going to have dinner at the beef herdsman's home on the other side of the farm there at Coldstream that evening, and it looked like this terrible storm coming up, and it barely rained, but the raindrops were huge. They'd hit on the blacktop and it'd be, you know, big around the softball, just one drop, you know. And that's all the rain that we had there at the dairy center was just a few plop, plop, plops, one hitch and you would get soaked, you know. And so we got finished up with the milking and cleaning up, and we went over to the Dale and Moon's house, and we were sitting there eating supper, and the chandelier in the dining room, the lights started just getting dim, and it was of course an old regular old screw type light bulb in there, and it for a long time, it never went out for a long time. It just kept getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And the first time I've ever really sat there and watched a light go down to where the filament was just glowing a little orange glow in there. And about that time, the phone started ringing, and Dale, being the beast verbman, he had guys working for him, and his guys that were students were all scared to death, was listening to the radio and stuff, and we didn't know anything about it. And of course, by this time, electric wasn't working, so Dale and I went outside, sat in his truck, and listened to the radio. And the first thing that we heard when we turned the radio on was the Red Cross in Lexington asking for no more people to come give blood, because they had like a 4-hour backlog of people waiting to give blood. And we thought, my goodness, what's going on? You know? and so we had to listen a little while longer to find out, you know. And I don't know what station Dale had on in his truck, but they played, they got a little piece of WHAS's
the helicopter report. Dick Gilbert on the helicopter.
Dick Gilbert, you know, and stuff, you know, were talking about all the, on the radio, you know, they talking all about the how bad everything was in Jefferson County. And so I waited until daylight, and
but you still didn't know about home then.
No, and I waited till daylight, and told Sandy I'd be back when I get back. I told the boss at the dairy center I'd be back when I get back, you know. And so I went home, didn't have any problem. They didn't have any problem there, you know. But things sure were a mess between there and, you know, on the way home between Lexington and Lowell. The big signs twisted up like pretzels. And
amazingly,
you know. But
houses cut in half in Cherokee Park.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, sure did.
Oh, my goodness. Their furniture sitting there, and like it could just fall right out.
Yeah.
Walls off.
I had forgotten about that, but I remember there was a signboard across on Interstate 65 across from Freedom Hall, which got hit. But though that signboard, huge metal girders were just twisted like a pretzel.
Mm.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Fairground was all messed up. I could see how you'd be worried, because we're kind of in line with the fairgrounds.
Sure, yeah.
Well, in the fairgrounds, that's what the Dick Gilbert, when they was talking about when the tornado hit the Freedom Hall, you know, and messed the roof up at Freedom Hall. Well, that's not far from home.
You know? That have a big impact, too, on your farming community, too. You know, right through there with all the shows that went on.
Right.
Yeah, great. Very good. Well, thanks for taking time out of a spring Sunday afternoon. You could be out doing something.
Planting
some strawberries or something, you know, or cutting some fresh peaches open. No, the peaches won't be in for a little while, will
they? They're just starting to bloom.
And good. Well, thanks for sharing. I'm glad that HAS has been a little bit a part of your life.
Anyway. Oh, it has.
Good. Thanks.
Still
and all while you were, I loved your voice, and I still love your voice.
Well, I'm glad.
I'm always talking
I'm
about
Jack's
voice.
I'm glad we could meet in person,
voice.
And it wasn't just over the
and
radio.
And I wanted to see you so bad. The first time I saw you, I guess it was Crusade for Children. You worked on that.